Episode 80, Five Ways a Biblical Worldview Can Bring Hope and Healing to a Broken World, Part 5.
Welcome to the Principles and Practice Podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Greetings, everyone. So we're wrapping up our series on this topic. If you haven't already caught parts 1 through 4, be sure to go back and listen to episodes 68, 73, 76, and 78. Well, are you ready to dive into the topic of social issues and how a biblical worldview of it can bring hope and healing to a broken world?
Yeah, let's do it. There's a lot of different things that can go into social issues. Some of those are family, marriage, welfare, the poor. Let's dive into the definition of marriage from Webster's 1828 dictionary. The definition of marriage is the act of uniting a man and woman for life. Wedlock, the legal union of a man and woman for life. It's a contract both civil and religious by which both parties engage to live together in mutual affection and fidelity till death separate them. And also there's a part of it that says that's also for securing the maintenance and education of children. So I challenge our listeners to go look at any modern definition of marriage and compare it to this.
There is a stark contrast between Webster's biblical worldview definition of marriage and then what is found in modern dictionaries today, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started reading a book titled The Micah Mandate, Balancing the Christian Life by George Grant, and so far it's an excellent read. I can't officially recommend it yet because I haven't completed it. But there are some interesting observations that George Grant makes regarding the Micah Mandate and social issues that I'd like to share about.
Let's hear it.
On page 13 of the introduction, he highlights the need for Christians to live a lifestyle of balance, where both faith and work are operative, where both holiness and service motivate, where both word and deed dominate, where the gospel is proclaimed both in doctrine and in life. And then he goes on to talk about the triad of justice, mercy, and humility that's mentioned in Micah 6:8, which says, "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And he links that triad as a key to a biblical worldview on social issues. And I hadn't looked at it through that lens necessarily in times past when I read Micah 6:8. I didn't go, oh, there's a prescription for social issues or how to handle them. So it all boils down to the internal work of Christ being expressed in action.
Yeah, and you look at life in general and you want your life to reflect your biblical worldview, and people notice that, because even without saying anything, people notice a difference generally between Christians and non-Christians.
Yeah, and I also learned from George Grant that the Hebrew word mishpat is linked to God's principle of righteousness and that the two cannot be separated.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think of Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of education, where it says, "To give them a religious education is indispensable, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties."
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get back to some more highlights by George Grant in this Micah Mandate book in a moment. But I got to thinking about how, as a part of a religious, that being Christian-based education, Christians need to teach children about biblical justice and that it's strongly linked to the concept of righteous living. In fact, Psalm 106 teaches us, "Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times." And that quote is from the ESV Bible. I'd like to share a quick word study on some of the attributes of righteousness. There are several attributes of righteousness that the Bible lists, and we can pull some directly from Psalm 112. So a person living in righteousness, meaning purity of heart, will exhibit the following: fears the Lord, delights in God's word, has his or her needs met by the Lord, is gracious, is merciful, generous, just, trusts the Lord, gives to the poor. And then some attributes of an individual living in righteousness can be found in Psalm 15 as well. lives a blameless life or walks uprightly, works righteousness, a refusal to gossip or backbite, a refusal to do evil to their neighbor, don't accept criticisms or shame from others concerning their neighbors, a refusal to speak bad things about their neighbors or friends, stays away from flagrant sinners, honors those who fear the Lord, keep their promises or vows at all cost, doesn't lend money at an exorbitant rate of interest, and a refusal to take bribes.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other attributes in the Bible regarding righteousness, but each of them reflect truth and beauty and goodness, faithfulness, and holiness. So to practice living righteously is to practice justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of times when people think of justice, they're thinking about just desserts. You know, well, you did this, so let's see some justice about it.
That comes from man's definition of justice.
Mm-hmm.
But biblical justice is all those things you just listed.
Yeah, so getting back to George Grant in his book, The Micah Mandate, he explains that the Hebrew word for mercy is chesed. Strong Concordance defines chesed as goodness, kindness, loyal deeds, or faithfulness. And Grant states that those attributes are inseparable from authority in the great scheme of things according to Scripture. It all has to do with servant leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something that was really interesting that the author also pointed out. He points out that communism, which is a worldview and a philosophy of government, is against churches showing mercy to those who are hurting and in need. He gives a brief history of how Joseph Stalin had given orders to ban charitable or cultural activities by churches. He references a book titled The Dawning of Darkness, an eyewitness account of the Soviet debacle by Hans, I think the last name is pronounced Bruckner. I'm not 100% sure.
Sounds right.
So it goes to show how authority and acts of mercy are connected and understood by individuals who don't hold to a biblical worldview.
It's interesting that they took away the ability to give charitably.
Well, I think that when the body of Christ is fulfilling her role versus abdicating it to the state, it draws people toward God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by taking that away, it draws people away from God.
Yeah, they're going to learn to trust whoever it is that's taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's also something to consider and ponder as Christians when it comes to turning to socialist programs for needs and wants versus relying on God and family and the body of Christ to help meet those needs.
Mm-hmm. There's a quote from Charles Colson. It says, the family is the most basic of unit of government. As the first community to which a person is attached and the first authority under which a person learns to live, the family establishes society's most basic values.
Right, and nations are made up of families, which mm-hmm. are made up of individuals.
Yep.
And so if we're learning God's principles for taking care of each other and understanding God's role in that for the individual when it comes to trust, and understanding that God's going to use people to help meet those needs, but it doesn't have to be the state.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that basic unit, and back to the definition of marriage, where it says securing the maintenance and education of children is part of that marriage, is, you know, we're working together to raise our children with a biblical worldview, and thus affecting the whole nation.
Mm-hmm. There's so much more within that first chapter alone in George Grant's book, The Micah Mandate, that I think our listeners would find helpful for comprehension and application of biblical justice. But again, I haven't completed reading the book, so I can't officially recommend it yet. But if any of the highlights from his first chapter pique curiosity, why not go ahead and get a copy of it and start reading it? Well, the question I'd like to pose as we close this episode is, what legacy do you want to be involved with? Do you want it to be a Christian legacy on social issues?
Those are great questions. So I want to ask you a question as well. What is your current worldview in the areas of peers, politics, I think government, economics, education, religion, and social issues? Go to worldviewcheckup.org for a stress-free online test with 100% private and immediate results. You can use our ambassador code AMB103 to save 15% off your purchase and support our ministry at the same time.
I'll add that the church also needs a checkup. After all, it is the church who needs to take the lead in rebuilding the wall and restoring culture. Fortunately, such a checkup exam exists. Again, it's completely confidential and found at worldviewcheckup.org. It only takes about 20 minutes, and if you and your church members get high marks, it gives confidence in speaking up to fight the worldview war in our midst. If you see areas in need of growth, it's great to know that too. You can get equipped so that you can develop a biblical worldview in those areas. Training resources are included with Worldview Checkup, so go for it. And please send the URL and discount code AMB103 to other pastors, family, and friends in your circle of influence. There's a small fee of $17.76 per user. However, your church can get a discount with the use of code AMB103 in the checkout process. Thanks again for supporting our ministry by using our ambassador code AMB103.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.